This is Mark. We're still in chapter 1. There's a lot in chapter 1.
Yeah.
This is from verse 21 onwards. So they, that's Jesus and his first disciples, went to Capernaum. And when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching, and with authority. He even gives orders to impure spirits, and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak, because they knew who he was.
So here we are, week 2, going through the book of Mark, and we're going to dig into that passage that Sally read for us. So I'd encourage you to have a Bible in front of you, because we're going to look at it almost line by line and say, well, what was happening here? What does this tell us about Jesus, about the situations he was facing? And then we'll spend a bit of time at the end thinking, well, what does this mean for us today? Last week, I recommended a few resources that you might want to look at, and one of them was Tom Wright's commentary on the book of Mark, Mark for Everyone. He's done the whole of the New Testament in this way, and they're really helpful. And as I was looking at it a few days ago, he kicks off this passage with just a story which I found quite helpful in just framing where this passage goes to, and I wanted to read it to you. And Tom Wright writes in this way: "Not long ago there was a great disaster at sea. A tourist boat loaded with cars and holidaymakers had failed to shut its doors properly. The water began to pour in, the boat began to sink, and panic set in. People were screaming as the happy, relaxed atmosphere of the ship turned in minutes into something worse than a horror movie. All at once, one man, not a member of the crew, took charge. In a clear voice, he gave orders, telling people what to do. Relief mixed with the panic as people realised someone at least was in charge, and many managed to reach lifeboats they would otherwise have missed in the dark and the rush. The man himself made his way down to the people trapped in the hold. There he formed a human bridge, holding on with one hand to a ladder and with the other to part of the ship that was nearly submerged, as he enabled still more to cross to safety. When the nightmare was over, the man himself was found to have drowned. He had literally given his life in using the authority he had assumed, the authority by which many had been saved." And you know, if you were to take that story and transfer it to another country, to another coastline, that of Galilee, we see in this passage Jesus doing something very similar to that man. taking authority. That's what this passage is all about. Jesus taking authority and using his authority to rescue people, to bring people to safety. And as you and I know, that ultimately cost Jesus his life as well. And so we see in this passage, Jesus taking authority, showing his authority in three different ways. We see him doing it through his teaching. He speaks with authority. We see him doing it and having authority over evil. And we see him having authority over illness as well. So we're going to take those three and have a look at them as we go through the passage. So the first thing we're going to look at is when Jesus speaks, he speaks with authority. And here in Mark 1, from verse 14, you can see Jesus starting to call his first disciples to follow him. Peter and Andrew, James and John, four fishermen, are all called to follow Jesus. And as they're called on the banks of Galilee, they go straight to Capernaum and to the synagogue in Capernaum. It's helpful just to kind of frame that for us. And there's a map of the area. And you can see the Sea of Galilee in the middle there. It's the big blue bit if you're struggling. And right there on the banks in the kind of northwest, you see Capernaum. So it's right on the banks of Galilee. You can go there today. Here's a picture of that place that is preserved. That is Capernaum today. And you can see the ruins there. And you can see it is right on the banks of Galilee there. And they arrive there in Capernaum, and Mark, who writes this, immediately focuses on Jesus' teaching and how he teaches with authority and how the people are amazed at how he teaches. Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. So Jesus here is being compared to the regular men, and it would have been men in those days, who taught in the synagogue. And they're amazed because he's not like them. He teaches with authority. Now, this isn't like when a guest preacher comes to a church and everyone goes, wow, I wish they were here every week. They're so much better than the usual preacher. There's something else going on here. Jesus teaches and speaks with authority, with his own authority. You see, the habit of the teachers in those days, or the scribes, as some translations would put it, is that their habit would be to quote Moses, for example. And they would say, as Moses said. And that would give them authority, because these are Moses' words, not their own. Or the other habit they were in would be to sort of quote from handed down tradition, as to say, as Rabbi such and such would say, or as this teacher would say. And they would be pointing to other teachers to claim their authority, which would then in turn they believe would give them authority. But what we see happening here is that Jesus speaks from his own authority. He's not quoting anybody else. He's not claiming anybody else's authority. It's a power, it's an authority that is coming from within him. And in doing that, he takes authority. He takes charge of that synagogue. And the people are amazed. We know what he would be teaching because we're told it earlier on in the passage. In verses 14 and 15, we're told that Jesus goes into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, Jesus said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. This is Jesus' message, and he preaches it with authority. And it's interesting because the words here to describe the people's reaction, you know, in our Bibles is translated as they were astonished or they were amazed. But in the original Greek that was used here, the words do mean astonished and they do mean amazed. But also, and we don't quite capture it in our language today, there's a sense of fear. there's a sense of them being disturbed. There's a sense of them being alarmed within that as well. So they're not just going, wow, this is amazing. There's a sense of, wow, this is amazing. What's this going to mean? And they're slightly on edge. Jesus is creating a disturbance as he starts to preach. It's not a comforting feeling that he's giving them. There's a sense of challenge here. There's a sense of him shaking up what they're used to. One commentator on this passage puts it this way. He said, the disturbance of people by God has begun. As Jesus stands up in Capernaum and preaches for the first time, this disturbance has started as God starts to speak to his people. Now it's interesting, isn't it, as we think about our lives today and as we go through Mark's gospel, not all of it's going to be comforting. Not all of it is going to be a sense of, oh, this is great. There's going to be a challenge. You know, Jesus has come to disturb. Jesus has come to turn upside down our way of seeing the world, our usual way of viewing people and situations and powers and authority. Jesus has come to shake that up, come to disturb our lives. Jesus speaks. He speaks with authority. The second thing we see in this passage is that Jesus has authority and power over evil. Now this is an interesting passage, isn't it? It starts this way in verses 23 and 24. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." So first thing to notice is, this is a guy who's in their synagogue. This is a guy who's in their church. We're not told how long he's been going to this church, but he might have been sitting there for years, part of the church, maybe part of the leadership team, you never know. And he's there, and suddenly it becomes really clear that he's possessed by this impure spirit, by this demon. And this demon who's possessing this man clearly feels threatened, clearly feels uncomfortable. A threat to his existence is brought by Jesus' presence and by his words. That's authority. That's authority right there. That Jesus just speaking and just his presence. He's not got any weapons with him. But this demon feels threatened by him. And he cries out, "Have you come to destroy us?" Now, I don't know if you noticed that suddenly this demon is using the plural. Have you come to destroy us? And then later on he says, "I know who you are." So it's obviously just one demon. But have you come to destroy us? And, you know, and there's a sense here that what we see is Jesus is in this synagogue, and as he starts his ministry, that something bigger is going on. We're given kind of glimpse to something far greater, that Jesus here is actually starting his ministry, which isn't just against this one demon, but it's against all powers and authority of evil. That they are all threatened by him, that they all know this is the start of Jesus coming to take back control of his creation. And they recognize who he is. This first part of Mark's gospel is this kind of this tussle, if you like, of people trying to work out who Jesus is as he starts to perform different miracles. Who is he? You know, he's somebody special, he's somebody different. And here we see the first person, the first being to recognize who Jesus is. Is a demon, is the forces of evil. You are, I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. You are God. And we see this authority of Jesus as he now speaks, not just to the whole synagogue, but directly to this demon. And with one phrase, this man is set free. "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. That's absolute authority, isn't it? It's like a man speaking to his pet dog, or speaking to a dog, be quiet, as the dog is muzzled. This is how Jesus sees this situation. This is how Jesus knows his authority in this situation. And he just speaks directly to him, be quiet, come out of him, just as we might send a dog out of the room. And the man is set free. Here's Jesus doing exactly what he's come to do. Confronting Satan, confronting evil forces, confronting the enemy, and stripping him of all his power. This bigger cosmic situation is at play here. Jesus has come to free his creation, and this is the start of it. This is the first glimpse of what Jesus' whole mission here is to do, taking back control of his creation bit by bit. The disturbance of evil by God has begun. Jesus starts to take control and shows his authority. And the response of people is incredible. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, what is this? Is it a new teaching? And with authority, he even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him. News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. And again, it's this same language. People are amazed, but they're disturbed. They're alarmed by what they see. They've got nothing to compare it to. What is this? Is it a new teaching? They've never seen anything like this before. But they just know that in Jesus there is power and there is authority, even over the forces of evil. I wonder how you respond to this incident. You know, for you and I living in 2023, it can be difficult to get our heads round this idea that demons might exist, that there might be forces of evil out there. It can be a struggle for us. One famous Bible commentator, 70 years ago, writing on this passage, William Barclay, he's done a great commentary on Mark, but in commenting on this passage, he writes this. He says, it may seem fantastic to us, but the ancient peoples believed implicitly in demons. And then he says this, even if there's no such thing as demons. Now, for us, and for even a great Bible commentator, it can be weird. We can think, well, there's no such thing. There's clearly no such thing. That was for those times. They were simple people. They didn't have the education. They didn't have the understanding of the world that we do. They just thought it was demons. It wasn't really demons. Yeah, it's a strange thought, isn't it? Because Jesus clearly thought and believed that these were demons, yet we might question that we know better than what Jesus was experiencing at the time. It's a dangerous position to be in, because I think this is exactly what Satan wants. This is exactly what the demons want for us. I think they rejoice in that kind of attitude that, oh, they're not really real. They don't really exist. That almost we're ignoring it, sweeping them under the carpet. Because then they can do so much more. The great Christian author C.S. Lewis famously wrote a book called The Screwtape Letters, in which he imagines a conversation between a senior demon and a junior demon, and the senior demon is giving instructions to the junior demon just starting out, and they're working, this junior demon is working with someone who's just become a Christian. So it's these letters between Screwtape and this junior demon. I'm sure many of you know it. And in the introduction to that book, C.S. Lewis writes this. There are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about the devils or about demons. One is to disbelieve in their existence. The other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. They themselves are equally pleased by both errors and hail a materialist or a magician with the same delight. It's a great quote, isn't it? And it just highlights, you know, there's a danger in disbelieving and becoming a materialist and just believing in the material world, that there is no spiritual world out there. There's a danger in that, in ignoring them. And there's a danger in having an unhealthy and obsession with them and kind of seeing demons and devils everywhere in everything that we do. Both are an issue. We don't want to have an unhealthy obsession, but we also don't want to deny that evil exists. You know, Jesus certainly believed and called them out and said, there's a demon in this man. And the Apostle Paul did too in the New Testament, famously in Ephesians 6, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, isn't against the material world, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Listen, there is a spiritual world. We have God, we have Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit. There is a spiritual world out there, and there are forces of evil as well. That's where Paul says our fight really is against. Maybe in 2023 we don't see demons as much as we should, and we don't call them out for what they are. But in this passage, the good news is that Jesus has authority and power over forces of evil in the spiritual world. Jesus has absolute power and absolute authority. And he does so with no effort, with no strain, with no struggle. Come out, be quiet, he says. Just a word. Whilst that world might exist, Jesus has power and authority over it. And lastly, Jesus has authority and power over illness as well. So after this incident in the synagogue in Capernaum, Peter takes a step of faith and invites Jesus into his home. Home so that he shares with his brother and his wife, and his mother-in-law is there, and we'll find out that she's ill in bed. It's just a clip I want us to watch from the television series The Chosen, which is depicting Jesus in this situation, going into Peter's home and this healing of Peter's mother-in-law. I think it just brings it alive a little bit to it. Isn't that fantastic? It's a great dramatization of what it might have been like, of what it could have been like. But in that, clearly we see Jesus taking authority over illness. Again, there's no effort, there's no strain, there's no struggle. He just places his hand, just offers his hand to her, and she is healed. That's authority. He hasn't had to try to do this. He hasn't had to work it out. He just knows that this illness that's taken hold of this woman, he can deal with it. And he does. You know, the disturbance of illness by God has begun. And as if to emphasize this, in verses 32 and 34, we see Jesus healing more people. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who were ill and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. in the language, in the Greek that this was written in, where it talks about people gathering at, the whole town gathering at Peter's house. The word there is synagogue. That's what the word means, the gathering. And so you literally have the whole town. They were in the synagogue earlier. Now they come in synagogue at Peter's house. And they all crowd in and around his house to be taught. Just as they would go to the synagogue to be taught, to be inspired, to be told who God is, they're now synagoguing at Peter's house to see who God is, to see the power of God at work. And he heals many who had not just this fever that the mother-in-law had, but many diseases. Jesus has authority over illnesses, not just one or two. And it wasn't just that one demon that Jesus has authority over. The kind of prediction that first demon meant, have you come to harm us? Have you come to kill us? Starts to become true. Because he now drives out lots of demons. He has authority over illnesses and the forces of evil, plural. And it's not a struggle. And it's not a strain. He wields his authority like nobody ever has before. When Jesus speaks, he speaks with authority. His words have authority. We've also seen that Jesus has authority and power over evil. With no effort, with no strain. And Jesus has authority and power over illness too. So what might this mean to you and I? How do we apply this to our lives today? Well, my first thought is, do we believe, do I believe, do you believe that Jesus speaks with authority? You see, the truth is, and if I'm honest, in my life, often I'll sense Jesus speaking to me. Often I'll sense him nudging me, maybe through his word, through other people, through somebody I'm hearing preach. And I think, well, that's interesting. Yeah, I can hear Jesus speaking. But often I don't put it into practice. What is Jesus saying to you? What has he been saying to you? Maybe for some time that you've been ignoring him about. You know, just this week, I know that there's been something that Jesus has been speaking to me about for a number of weeks. He's been getting my attention and I've just been ignoring, because I know it's meant I've had to give something up. I've had to change something in my life. And just reading this week and the end of last week and over the last weekend and beginning to put together what I was going to say, I thought, I've got to do it. What Jesus has been asking me to do, I've got to do it, because he's got authority. Either he has authority or he doesn't. There's no in between. And so I did it. I did what he was asking me to do. And it's been good. It's been good. I've noticed a difference. You see, when Jesus speaks to us with authority, it's for our good. It's not to give us a hard time. This isn't like the headmaster at your school. This isn't like one of your parents who maybe just used to say stuff to you just to give you a hard time. He's not bullying us. When he speaks with authority, it's for your good. It's for my good. What's he been trying to disrupt and disturb in your life? Because it might mean change. It's meant change for me even this week. But it's for our good, because he loves you. Second and third thing is this, and they're kind of linked really. Are you experiencing darkness or evil in your life? We can do. And maybe we try and explain it away as being something else. But maybe deep inside of yourself you're thinking, there's something not right here. This is beyond just human power at work here. This feels darker, it feels more sinister, it feels more evil. Maybe you're experiencing an illness, and that can feel very dark and very difficult as well. What I want to say to you today as you watch this is that Jesus has power and authority in your situation. And it doesn't cause him any effort, it doesn't cause him any strain. He can speak, and the darkness flees. He can speak, and you and I can know healing. Now, what I don't want to do here is make you any false promises. And whilst I can say that Jesus has authority, and he clearly does, he might have bigger plans and bigger purposes, especially when it comes to illness, for you. But what I can't deny is what we've looked at today, is that Jesus does have authority over those things. And whilst we're walking through dark and evil situations, and maybe while we're carrying an illness or a sickness as well, knowing that the one who has power and authority is with us can bring great comfort in those situations. I want to encourage you today, if you are going through those dark times, if you are going through times where it does feel evil, maybe you're walking with somebody in that, or somebody who's unwell, that Jesus has authority. And to pray with his authority into those situations. One final passage that I want to share with you is this from Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now to him, and this is Jesus, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Now to Jesus, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. Now you may be looking at your situation and Jesus may have been speaking to you, but his power, his authority is immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. You may be walking through a dark or a difficult or an evil time. Jesus can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. You may be walking with an illness or a sickness. Jesus is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or even imagine. You know, you may not be able to imagine that your situation can change, or that you can know freedom from that. You might have been walking with it for years. Jesus' authority is such that he can do immeasurably more than you can ask or that you can imagine. Why? Because it's according to his power that's at work within you, not down to you. When Jesus stood up and spoke in that synagogue, he spoke with authority and did immeasurably more than they could ask or imagine. When he freed that man from that demon, he did immeasurably more than they could ask or imagine. When he healed Peter's mother-in-law, and when he healed many in that town and many more from demons, he did immeasurably more than they could ask or imagine. What can he do in your life? What can he do in my life? Let's pray together. And maybe there's something that we've looked at this morning that just jumps out at you. Something that's resonated with you. I just encourage you now, just in the quiet, just to share with God what that is. This is what I've heard you say this morning, Lord. And Father God, for those of us that need to act on your words, for those of us that need to acknowledge your authority in what you're trying to say to us, we want to say, you alone are God. We see and we hear your authority. And Father, we choose to act in the way that you've been asking us to do. Help us to be people not just who hear what you say, but you go and act on it. Father, we I want to pray for those of us who are experiencing perhaps what we would say is evil in our lives. Situations, people at work that are just very dark and unsettling. Where the enemy is attacking. Where demonic forces are at work. Jesus, thank you. We declare that you have authority over all powers of darkness. And we say, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, be gone from our lives and be gone from those we love and situations that we know of. Jesus, you have authority, and would you muzzle the forces of evil that are at work. And Jesus, thank you that you have authority over illness too. We see that very clearly. And Jesus, where it's in your purposes to heal, we pray you might do that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We want to say to ourselves, be well. We want to say over other people we know who are unwell, be well in Jesus' name. Jesus, come and take authority. Just as we see you have authority here. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen.